WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Christopher Columbus, the movie, has already flopped, even with Marlon Brando in it. But just in time for Columbus Day, Paramount is releasing 1492, Conquest of Paradise, starring Gerard Depardieu as the legendary navigator, and directed by Ridley Scott, who made Alien, Blade Runner, and Thelma and Louise. Film critic Stephen Schiff has this review.
Ridley Scott makes pretty movies, but not always good ones. If you give him a screenwriter as talented as Cali Curry, he can turn out a film as terrific as Thelma and Louise. But as ravishing as the images in 1492 often are, I'm afraid the movie itself is stupefying. The screenwriter is a French journalist named Rosaline Bosch, and her dialogue not only sounds as though it were written in the midst of her Berlitz finals, it also sounds as though she hadn't seen a movie since the 40s. The style is stiff and stentorian. 1492 takes the historical pageant approach to the discovery of the Americas, with Gerard Depardieu, his streaming hair backlit just so, announcing that the world is round, and then hundreds of epicene Spanish courtiers growling things like, "Just what makes you think so, Señor Columbus?" Depardieu's heavy French accent might be justified on the grounds that Columbus was Italian, a foreigner in the Castilian court. But then, what are we to make of Armand Asante, who plays the royal Castilian treasurer Sanchez with a New York Puerto Rican accent? And Sigourney Weaver, who plays Queen Isabel as though she were the most marriageable debutante in Detroit? Trying to humanize the pageantry, the filmmakers have given Columbus a mistress, played by Angela Molina, who spends most of the movie beaming dumbly at Columbus and showering him with kisses before he leaves her again for another 4 years or so. Then there's the great man's relationship with Queen Isabel, which is a series of only-in-the-movies-style flirtations like this one.
Why should I believe in you, Señor Columbus?
Yes, ma'am. I do. May I speak freely?
You show no inclination to speak otherwise.
I know what I see. I see someone who doesn't accept the world as it is, who's not afraid. I see a woman who thinks, what if?
A woman?
Forgive me. But you're the only queen I know.
Then that makes us equal. You are the only navigator that I know.
Once Columbus gets to the New World, the movie pulls out all the visual stops. Scott bathes the jungles of Hispaniola in cool white and hot yellow light. Emerald snakes bask on branches. Enormous birds flap slowly skyward. And the holy moly music by Vangelis makes you feel as though you've indeed entered paradise. But then the movie descends into the murk of history. Although Columbus was not the worst of the Spanish explorers, he was still far from enlightened, and 1492 gingerly shows him putting Indians to work mining gold without quite admitting that he was enslaving them. Instead of ignoring Spanish brutality altogether, the movie divides the Spanish into good guys and bad guys. Columbus, see, was a man of peace, but he was surrounded by scoundrels thirsting for Indian blood. Moreover, the scoundrels are noblemen who despise Columbus because of his lowly birth. That way we can root for our hero without feeling too politically incorrect. My bet, though, is that you won't wind up rooting for anybody. Gerard Depardieu brings his usual physical bravado to the role, but this must be one of the vaguest and least felt performances of his career, which isn't surprising. 1492 pretends that it wants to bring us an intimate, more human picture of its hero. Instead, it makes Columbus the man feel oceans away.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.